We preached a series of messages called Getting the Spirit of Men. Those are the things exactly that I tried to explain. That you see, when you say evil communication corrupt good manners, yeah, you can emulate manners. That's one thing. But there's another thing. If you keep looking up to somebody and the person keeps telling you words, are you getting my point? The spirit of that person enters into you. That is not a joke. I don't know how many of you know Dede Mabiaku. You know Dede Mabiaku. That guy is from Delta State. Fela is from Ogun State. Was from Ogun State. Now, if you see Dede Mabiaku walk, if you hear this guy talk, or see the way he smokes, or dances, all right, or sings, you will think Fela that died had risen again from the dead. Forget this one Femi Kuti is doing. Femi Kuti is not like his father at all. Dede Mabiaku drank the spirit of Fela. The day I heard him talk, that Dede Mabiaku, they invited interviewing him, I saw that this guy actually was impacted. That is, the Bible said that Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses laid his hands upon him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, you see, we are talking about the word spirit. I'm trying to emphasize it. You see, a lot of time we have limited spirit to three things. Either the Holy Spirit of God, that is present, or evil spirits, or we say that human being is spirit, soul, and body. So the spirit of a man, listen to me, is more than that. That thing you call the spirit of a man can be manipulated. It can receive things. Actually, what you call the spirit of a man, it's almost like a spiritual mixture that controls the baseline of his life. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? Do you get the point I'm making? So that's why God keeps on talking about having the spirit of Christ. That if somebody has the spirit of Christ, it doesn't mean he doesn't ever do anything wrong. Because what's inside a man's heart is different. Look, a lot of us say the heart and spirit are the same thing. They are not the same thing. They are not the same thing at all. The Bible uses is very, very different. Now, what is inside a man's heart that stays there for long is actually controlled by what's inside the spirit. And then what's inside his heart, all right, can affect what becomes the state of his spirit. Let me give an example. Do you know? You know, I was talking today with somebody. Somebody called me on the phone. So he said his colleagues had moved abroad. I said, where? To UK. And I said that, why did he move? And I said, it's a she. Oh, she got married. What is the husband who we're talking? And this person was working in V-Mobile. I said, why didn't she tell her husband to move back down? Now, there's a reason. I said, because they are going to have life very hard. And I didn't mean that as a joke. That girl is going to be miserable for some time. Now, I'm telling you, her husband, I said, what's the husband doing? He said that the guy is a student, but he works part-time to pay his fees and all that. I knew the kind of earning this girl was earning here. Now, she has moved. She won't have a job. She'll get a menial job when she gets there. I knew the amount of comfort she was living in, because living in Eastern Nigeria here, I won't say the state exactly, and I considered it. I said, but you know the problem with Nigerians, that's what I'm trying to explain. We have an escapist spirit right now, that if you give somebody a visa to Rwanda, he has collected it and gone to Rwanda before he realized that this is a worse country than the one he's coming from. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Because the guy and I were not, I said, that girl made a tactical error. Tactical error. He said they know. That you see, that the guy is doing a master's, maybe in economics or something. I said, she should have just told her husband that if it is money you are looking for, if God spoke to you, go to the UK. You understand my point? God speaks to people. No, he does. And I don't mean that as a joke, he does. I mean, God can tell you, please, I have prayed to him that he shouldn't tell me that, because it stands a higher chance of me disobeying for a while. But God can do that. He can tell you, he has done it to people that I know, truly. Okay? Because if God could tell a missionary to come to Nigeria, he could tell a Nigerian to mission to somewhere else also. And then being a advanced country doesn't make you immune to Nigerian missionaries. You follow my point? But I said, apart from that, if it was money they were looking for, then they made a tactical error. I said, why didn't she just tell her husband? Say, listen, my husband, please, let us be doing marriage by P&T for a while. Let me maintain my job. I have enough money from what I'm being paid. After all, I was hearing adverts, Virgin Nigeria, $560 to go to UK and come back. I mean, she can afford that sharp. It's not a big deal. Can go every 3 months. All right, you follow my point? And it's a master's program. As soon as a man finishes his master's program, bring that foreign master's, come down to Nigeria, you get a good job. I said, but you see, they are not reasoning like that at all. Why? Because there's a baseline spirit in the air. Do you follow the point I'm making? That spirit is there, of which every time an opportunity comes or something arises, you are leaning towards going abroad. Even if abroad is hotter than where you are, you will have reached there before you start coming back. Please, I'm using many words to explain the meaning of the word spirit. So that it's not just as if, come, just lay hands on somebody, and then that is it. You have changed the spirit that was inside him. If somebody had an evil spirit dwelling in him, you can, as a person, you get my point? You can cast out the demon. But there are evil spirits that are not castable. They are retrainable. I don't know whether you get my point. We did a series that overcome evil spirits. That you can have a spirit in you that is evil. You can't cast it out. It's your person. It's part of you. And the Bible says that if you have that kind of spirit, you are not born again. You don't have the spirit of Christ. I'm explaining something here. So you can have somebody who has the spirit of Christ still doing something that is wrong. Do you get my point? Because the spirit is a general attitude. But at certain situations, he might react maybe based on training. He might react based on influence. He might react based on the experience. All right? In a negative fashion. But his spirit is still the baseline spirit of Christ. And you will see it. When you get that kind of person, sit him down, go over what has happened, you will see a repentant heart come up immediately. Do you get my point? Like David. David killed Uriah in panic. You know that? In panic. But Saul was a godless man. Are you following the point I'm making? For David, it was panic. What do we do? What do we do? Scandal about to break. Before he realized what was happening, he had ended Uriah. But when they brought up the issue to him, you know, he was quick to repentance. I hope you are getting the point I'm going to make. Because the baseline thing in his heart, that's what we are talking about. That right spirit, that's what he was saying. That's why I prayed to God, renew. That he was there before. Something corrupted it. He said, renew a right spirit within me. Please, I hope you have understood the point I'm making here. Now, I have spent the whole of today. Well, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. All right. Now, but there's something I should just add before I go on. Now, when God is not talking to Christians, now, he now says that if you don't have the spirit of Christ, that is, what he was saying is this. There is an attitude, like he said in Philippians chapter 2. He said, let this attitude be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Do you get my point? Now, that is what is generated by the spirit of Christ. So, and then he will now say things like, if a man doesn't have that spirit, he is not one of him. It does not belong to him. That's in verse 9. You get the point. Uh-huh. Now, so when God is referring to the spirit, when he's talking about the Christian, when Paul is referring to a Christian, and he says the word, your spirit, without qualifying it further, he's assuming that you have the spirit of God or the spirit of Christ. Are you getting my point? Like I told you, you can imbibe a spirit. From God, you imbibe that spirit of God, which is the same thing actually as the spirit of Christ. Because Christ got it by submission to God. And when you submit to God also, and you imbibe the word of God, what that pours into you is what? Spirit. That's why Jesus said that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. What he was saying is that the word that I speak, they carry a spiritual substance that imparts life wherever they get to. Please, I hope you have understood something today. So when Paul will speak, that's the point I'm going to make. He will just say to a believer, as a matter of fact, that you have the spirit of Christ. So when he talks about the fruit of the spirit, he's talking to a believer. So he says, inside you, I assume that there is a spirit that came from God. You get my point? And the fruit it produces is love, joy, peace, the long-suffering, joy. You know, he keeps on listing those things. That is the general attitude. That, you know, I've told you before, if you see somebody who's always complaining, always angry, the person is most likely not born again. Stop looking for unbeliever to preach to. Even if he goes with you to church, say, boy, sit down. Let me preach to you that you might give your life to Christ and you can receive the spirit of Christ. All this grumbling attitude is not the spirit of Christ. I told you before. Because the spirit of Christ produces what? Love, joy, joy, joy. Joy is very important. Long-suffering, peace. I know he explained all those things. And if you now go down to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it now tells you the attribute of love. Do you follow my point? Now, having said all of this, I hope I still have time to say other things. Now, there's another point I want to make. And that is the fact that spiritual things, as we have come to understand in previous times, they control physical things. And let me tell you this, when you talk about flesh, you know, human flesh, there's something I will say, which I've said before. It sounds very funny, but it's actually the truth of life, all right? Anything you see, flesh, is actually an eventual manifestation of the spirit. Even what the Bible calls sowing to the flesh, all right, you get the point I make? What it was calling sowing to the flesh is actually what the system of the world has produced. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. So if the spirit is changed, do you get the point? Eventually, this flesh responds. I told you something. Now, this is Banky's theory. Why do people differ in appearance on the earth? Where did it start from? After all, they are all descendants of Noah, right? If Noah was a white man, I assume his descendants were white. If he was black, I assume that his descendants should generally have been black. One may have been darker than the other. People say that Cush was a black. Listen, my friend, they are all born of the same father and the same mother from the same tribe. So they should, there are fair people here. There are some as dark as I am. You follow my point? But we are still niggers, You get my point? We are still Negroes. We are still black people. But it's a maker, no matter how much yellow pass like this, it's just as much a Negro as I am. You understand my point? So maybe amongst Noah's sons, one was fairer than the other. But this is what I want to say. Where did all the different, have you seen a Chinese man before? The people are generally short. The tallest men in the world, you know where they are from? Who knows? The tallest people on earth today as we speak. The tallest. Nobody knows. The Africans, the Tutsis of Rwanda and Burundi, they are the tallest men on earth. The Tutsis are tall. Very near to them are the shortest people. The pygmies of the Congo. Now, why am I saying all of this? Where did all of that come from? A man is Asian, one is Indian, and there's amongst them Indian, Chinese, then you see blacks, whites, all those kind of things. This is my personal opinion, no. This is my opinion, no. It started from the Tower of Babel. Yes, that's what I think. I would like to investigate it. That's what I think. I think that when God scattered their language, they began to have differing spirits. You know what I mean in quotes. Now you see that spirit. Now the usage is very diverse, and that eventually began to recreate their flesh. Some guys became very white, some became very dark, some became short, some became tall. And what I'm saying may sound funny, but I believe it absolutely. Even if it's not exactly what I'm saying, but you see, the flesh always responds to what is inside the spirit. Eventually, now there's a reason why I'm saying that, because it's a scripture we must read. It says that if Christ is in you, listen to this, though the body is dead or subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Let me read that again. It said if Christ is in you, literally it says the spirit is alive because of righteousness. But listen, in context, that doesn't make sense. What it was said is that even though the body is subject to death or is decaying because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because we are dealing with a spirit of righteousness. Do you understand my point? What am I saying here? When death came into the earth, it was because of sin. Are you getting my point? That is, the spirit in the man were darkened. Therefore, the flesh began to decay. Why I'm saying this is, you see, science is very interesting. Science is always discovering. And the more they discover, and I read a lot of it because of my profession, all right? I read a lot of molecular biology, all right? It's very interesting. Now, the people who got the Nobel Prize for medicine and physiology for this year, they discovered something nobody knew existed before. That's why they gave it to them. And we have been studying the cell forever. At least I've been reading about it for a very long time now. yeah, this guy has just said that, oh, there are this particular kind of molecules which they never found, they did not know was there. You know why I'm saying this? I believe very assuredly, one day they will discover, because right now, the idea is that DNA controls everything. But I'm sure of this, and I can bet, just I didn't know when it will happen, but I'm absolutely persuaded about it. One day, they will discover how the environment, how the attitudes of people change their DNA, and that thing is carried over to the next generation. Right now, there is no scientific proof about that. But we have observed it in life. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you this. It might sound very funny. Have you noticed that, generally speaking, when men and women are getting married, nobody says that these two people look alike. But after 20 years, the husband and wife, they end up looking alike. No, this is Banky's persuasion. No? That no be science. I'm studying it. I can see. You know, we're always adding one thing to another. One thing to another. Look, if you understand what I'm trying to say, you will know why generations to come will look different, maybe from this particular generation. Because, listen, if you imbibe a different attitude, I used to say something those days, that if you find out that your face is always squeezed and they say you are not fine, don't go for cosmetic surgery or anything. Just pick the scriptures and start reading. I'm telling you what I am saying. Oh, God, this I'm saying is very, very funny. But I'm telling you, as you imbibe the Spirit of Christ, oh God. The Bible said they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were no longer ashamed. You know what that means? Listen, any man, any woman that really imbibes the Spirit of Christ, listen to me, it will remove wrinkles from your face. All the wrinkles that young people are getting because of economic troubles. Faith will smoothen your face. You will become radiant. And, you know, it sounds funny. But you know why I'm saying so? Because that's exactly what Christ said. He said, though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit inside that individual will give it life because of righteousness. Listen, you see, I studied medicine to a level that I should be one saying these things are not true. For example, there's a particular kind of heart condition that kills young men suddenly. They normally inherit it from their fathers. The attitude, the tendency to be diabetic or hypertensive is inherited from parents. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But you know, does that bother me? No. And I teach people that really doesn't matter. Because what that is a much that science has been able to decipher. The Bible says that if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, it creates for you another makeup. And that is absolutely practical. That if you see a man, no hypertension in his life, his father is hypertensive, his mother is hypertensive, his brother is hypertensive, his sister is hypertensive, everybody is hypertensive. But one thing pulls him out. His faith in Christ Jesus. Check his BP is down. That's what he was saying when he said that if Christ is in you, though your body is subject to death, and that as a result of sin, he said, yet the spirit, now you understand what I mean by spirit now, because inside you there is a spirit of Christ. That spirit walks out eventually into your flesh. Somebody inherited, you know, because this person inherited this particular gene. He will die at the age of 40. That thing, physically speaking, is true. But God said, if he imbibes the Spirit of Christ, that is it. That is history. That is history. Listen, there are generations. Oh, God, you know what I'm saying? If Christians walk in the light of God, in generations, certain diseases will die and vanish. Do you get my point? That is, without you doing sickle cell testing and everything, if you could get everybody to walk in the light of God, in one generation, that gene will vanish. I, Banky, am persuaded about it. I may not have scientific proof, but I have scriptural proof, and there is a spirit in me that lets me know that what I'm saying is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Listen, I said Christianity is very practical. No big joke. Are you getting my point? He said, if Christ is in you, that's what I want. That's what I'm trying to explain today. He said, verse 11. He said, why is it like that? He said, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Do you get the point I'm trying to make here? Listen to me. What I'm saying is very, very, very true. Where did we stop reading earlier? Last verse 10, Abby. Yes, that's what we said. So I'm going to stop passing my comments there today. So let me now get back to where we started from. The law of the spirit of life. I said something last week. I said that there are two laws. I introduced that a bit late. That there is a law of sin and death, and there is a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I said there's a law of sin and death, and the exact opposite is what? The law, it makes sense, of righteousness and life. That is, if a man is in sin, it produces death. If a man is walking in righteousness, then it produces life. And I said there is a specially adapted version of that law, which is called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What I was saying is this. If a woman believes in Christ Jesus, herein the Bible says is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, because he has come into righteousness, God's type of righteousness, you are getting the point? Therefore, the law of righteousness and life brings life into his members automatically. You follow my point? That's why he said the law of the spirit that produces life in Christ Jesus has overcome the effects of the law of sin and death in my members. Do you get my point? I'm not explaining something here. What Paul was saying is very practical. All these gist people gist. I don't, look, at this point, Christians shouldn't talk about hereditary disorders. That's the law of sin and death. In this family, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. You get my point? No. You know, that was what they said about Nazareth. They came to Zeph, Philip, or Andrew now. He said, come and see. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know what he said? Come and see. Do you get my point? That this Jesus was an aberration from what was normal. You get my point? That is, they did not expect anything good to come out of Nazareth. You know the interesting part? You know, when we're reading journals in medicine, they don't tell the whole story. They don't tell the whole story. Because they won't tell the story of how the man got prayed for. They won't tell the story of how the man prayed to God in the bottom of his, from the bottom of his heart in his bedroom when nobody was there. They just know that we expected him to die and he did not die. So we'll now write a publication and say, an unusual presentation of this kind of disease in which the man did not die but lived. Do you understand my point? All we say is what? Unusual. When I was doing my project one of the projects I did for my final postgraduate training, I did something on what they call male infertility. All right? You know what I mean by male infertility? For those who want to know, generally speaking, if a couple is infertile, that is, they didn't produce any offspring, contrary to African tradition, the fact is that the possibility of somebody being at fault is half-half. Essentially, it's roughly half-half. Now, for that reason, doctors do what they call... A man is easier to investigate than a woman. That's when you want to treat, you know, medical treatment. To start finding out what is wrong, it's easier to check whether a man is all right than to check a woman. Do you get my point? Because all you need to do with a man is just do what they call a sperm count. You've heard of that before. They do it every time. Now, when I was doing my literature search for my project, I came across an article. I've used it to teach my medical students again and again. I teach medical students. And what did I find out there? There was a publication of... Let me give you the title, and then I will try and break it down to everyday English. They said, demonstrated paternity in spite of oligospermia. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. When you use the word, you know, but all of you have heard of what they say. If I all these quacks advertised in the paper, they have treatment for low sperm count, low sperm count, low sperm count. All right. So this man had extremely low count, extremely low. Let me explain what I mean by extremely low. The normal is usually from about 40 million and above. But 20 million is accepted as normal. But most normal people have over between 40 and 100 million per meal. This man had 50,000. Now let me explain. That is, for every 400 that is supposedly the lower limit of normal, he has one. So the lower limit of normal was 400. This man had how many? One. So medically speaking, it was not likely. this will happen. Yet, while the doctors were doing, this is not possible medically, the man impregnated his wife. Of course, the doctor shouldn't just accept it like that, that's what happened. So you know what they did? They tested this child to the limit of testing possible. And every test they did confirmed that this man is the father of this child. They tested it so much that they had to publish it in an international journal. Like we say, Arami Oriri, that is for Yoruba, we say that one that I never see before. When I read it, because I'm a believer, I said, you see, it's in the scriptures. Though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Now, do you get the point I make? The problem we have is that we sow into the flesh. Our faith is so much in everything but what God has said. My favorite example again is Terry Mize and Jackie Mize. When Terry Mize was going to marry his wife, Jackie Mize, doctors told her that it wasn't possible for her to conceive and have children. And Terry Mize said that, who said that? He said, the doctors. The guy said, hi. Doctors, their word is not final. What do you mean? Forget that. So he married her anyway. And use the power of the word of God. Do you get my point? Though the body be dead, subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. By the time she was telling the story, of course, initially, because I'm persuaded about this, because of the turmoil in her heart and her mind, it took God a while to get her to the position where she could retain a pregnancy. First one, she lost it. Second one, she lost it. I don't know about the third one, but at least she was conceiving, so that her mind was getting enlarged. By the time she was telling the story, I think she had 3 or 4 children. Do you get my point? Though the body be dead because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Do you understand my point? So I said I was talking about the law of the spirit of life. What does that law say? If I put it in common words, like we say in science, what he was saying is that if anybody has the spirit of Christ, there is no accusation from the flesh or from Satan that can hold him down. That's the summary. You get my point. Let me tell you how people sow into the flesh. They say, oh boy, Nigeria is hard. That's a very practical one. Listen, it is not as if, you know, let me tell you something about Christianity. It's a dangerous game, in quote. It's a very dangerous game. You know what I mean? If you don't want to believe, please, run away from church wide. It is better that they don't preach the gospel to you than you heard the gospel and refuse to believe it. That one is judgment. What am I saying? If an unbeliever says that economy is rough, let me go down to Australia, he will prosper, physically speaking, to a limit. If after everything you have heard me preach, for example, you, because of roughness of economy, shift. Nobody say I won't swear for you. I'm just feeling sorry for you. It would have been better that you did not hear me preach. You know that man who followed Elijah, who followed the king to the house of Elijah. If he had not come, he would not have died. Do you know? You know he wouldn't have died. When Elijah said that, by this time tomorrow, breakthrough upon Samaria. If he hadn't come, he would have been there, then he would have seen the breakthrough and eaten from it. But because he went, he heard the prophecy and laughed at the prophecy. Oh, party. The man was croaked. Do you get my point? I'm explaining something. That's why I said that Christianity is, in quote, a dangerous game. If you are not ready to get to the end, if you know what God said, I like hot people. I can tolerate cold people. But the lukewarm, remove from my mouth. You know the meaning of the lukewarm people? They hear the word, but to do it now, they're not greedy one. What am I saying? When you sow into the flesh, it's when you are taking decisions according to what common men say, according to what physical situations around you say. What are you doing? You are sowing to the flesh. And from that, what do you reap? Death. Corruption, problems. But it says the one that sows to the spirit What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? You allow the Spirit of Christ in you. I'm going to talk about that on Saturday. Because we're talking about righteousness. And last night I talked about the fast of God. Next week I'm talking about worshiping in the Spirit. Okay, next Saturday. Now, you allow the Spirit of Christ in you, produce something out of you spontaneously. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Do you get my point? I hope you've learned something today. What I've tried to explain is the meaning of the word spirit. Listen, it is not a simple thing. It's not a cheap thing to say that somebody, there's the law of the spirit of life. That spirit of life, God was saying that if there was death there before and a man walked into the place bearing the spirit of Christ, eventually the triumphant spirit inside him overcomes. That's why you never hear me talk defeat. There's something happening in my life right now. It has not finished happening. Do you get my point? For that reason, I'm reserving the testimony. I want it to finish. When it has finished, then I will not explain. I knew it before, physically speaking. Theoretically speaking, scripturally speaking. But in reality, something is playing out around me. I said, God, now I understand how God works. That when you are talking about spirit, look. When people talk about economic recovery in Nigeria and all that, it's not like somebody will just get up and will start rearranging. When a spirit of the victor enters into the air, do you know that? Let me give you a very interesting example. A typical Nigerian is a crook. It's a spirit. Go and read that book, please. The Final Quest. You get what I'm saying for that. One of the things we need, please listen to the radio broadcast tonight. Listen to it. I began to talk about what I call generating spiritual forces for the redemption of a nation. The first one is going on air today. Please, don't miss the next force today, then the next three. It's very important because what is happening is that in the spirits of men around, from their hearts and their attitudes, they are generating spiritual forces. Generally, when you find crooks dominating a nation like our own right now, except the righteous men really rise up to do something. Look, when a typical business spends more time, you know, in our country, this man downstairs on ground floor, Multicom, he spends 2 million naira a year to maintain security in his company. How much business is he doing? 2 million bucks, because he has a few branches here and there. On each one, he pays 50,000 naira to make sure there is a mobile, an armed policeman on duty. What is he selling? Phone. Mobile phone that all it needs to do is catalog all the numbers. Once you break it, if it's Europe, you steal it, you can't use it. But this guy blows 2 million bucks annually just to dissuade thieves from breaking into his shop. Now, that doesn't include the cost of security cameras, does not include the cost of strong metal barricades. It's just to make sure there's a policeman on duty. Look, what I'm saying is that there is a spirit in the air which we need to fight, and that thing is energized, is powered by an evil spirit, a demon force hanging. You know, you talk about the prince of Persia. You've heard of that before. They are there. They are the ones that maintain the release of that spirit. And what we need to do, they are the righteous men of God, is to generate a different kind of spirit so that an average businessman, you know, the problem foreign investors have in Nigeria, Nigerian businessmen don't honor contracts. They don't. If you and a man agree today that you will supply this and do this and that, halfway through, if you not favor him again, he pulls out. But the Bible said the man who will enter into the mountain of God must be one that swears to his own heart and does not change. Why? You see why we have not prospered much?